was this thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. This was a supernatural darkness, a thick darkness. Notice you could feel it. I think about what sin brings. And when our Savior, the sinless one, bore our sins in his body on the cross, the Bible tells me, Matthew 27, that at noon, at high noon, the sky went dark.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series through the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings part 7 of the message titled, The Plagues of Egypt. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Just because we haven't seen something doesn't mean God can't bring it about. And his word tells us there will be unprecedented judgment in the last days. And even some Christians say, well, he must be speaking figuratively. I can't really. It's apocalyptic literature. Now, I'll tell you, he said these things are going to happen. And when God says unprecedented judgment will fall, it will. And they may, their dads, if you ask the old man, have you ever seen locusts like that? Nah, I've never seen it that bad. How about granddad? Did he ever see it? No, he'd never seen it that bad. Maybe they'd never seen it that bad, but it's going to get that bad. So God brings a warning. Well, Pharaoh's servants, verse 7, said to him, how long will this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not realize that Egypt is destroyed? I say a little common sense coming into Pharaoh's cabinet. How long are you going to let this go on? Let him go. Can't you see the land is destroyed? Remember back in chapter 8 when they said, this is the finger of God. We can't imitate this anymore. This is the finger of God. The truth is beginning to dawn on at least his advisors, and they at least have some common sense. So Moses and Aaron, verse 8, were brought back to Pharaoh. And he said to them, go, serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? And Moses said, well, we shall go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. Who's going? Well, everybody, the young and the old, our flocks, and Then he said to them, thus may the Lord be with you. If I ever let you and your little ones go, take heed, for evil is in your mind. Not so. Go now, the men among you, and serve the Lord, for that's what you desire. Go ahead, but you're not taking your little ones. A second compromise is offered by this tool of Satan, and it's a common ploy of Satan, by the way. If God's purpose is to redeem a people for himself, if God's purpose is generational worship, the fathers and the sons and the grandsons, if God wants to see a godly heritage raised up, if God wants to see you tonight disciple your kids and see them walk with the Lord, if he, and he does, then you can be sure that Satan will work against that. And he might even suggest to you, okay, go ahead, be a fanatic, but don't force it on the kids. He'd love to break the chain of devotion to him, the generational chain, and he's pretty successful at it, isn't he? It's sad to look around and see how many times he has effectively kept, maybe led a generation that he's turned, he's lost. Let them go ahead and be devoted to the Lord, but work overtime to capture their kids and keep them in Egypt. And let me just remind you, look back at Genesis 18, because I raised it as a question, or I stated it as an argumentative question, if it's God's desire And I tell you, it is. Parents, it's His desire that your kids walk with Him. Genesis 18, verse 19. When He said why He'd chosen Abraham, I have chosen him in order that He may command His children and His household after Him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what He has spoken about Him. I chose Abraham that He might command His children and His servants, His whole household after Him, to keep the way of the Lord. That's God's desire. It really is. He wants the gospel to be passed on generation to generation. And He wants that heart for God to keep His ways passed on by doing righteousness and justice. I mean, what did He just say in Exodus 10? I'm letting Pharaoh stay around so that I might do my signs that you might tell who? Your sons and your grandsons. What's He say in Deuteronomy 6? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And the words that I'm giving you today, I want you to teach your kids. I want you to pass this along. I want you to talk about it in the family room. I want you to talk about it in the kitchen. Put these words everywhere. And, you know, it's not just a matter of sticking scripture placards around. Make sure that your home is dominated by God and by His Word. And it's humbling to think of how many American homes, I mean, you know, this time of year when it's dark, you drive down the road in the dark, especially out in the country, I've noticed, when things are really dark, there's no street lights. And when you get to a house, you seldom see anymore, you know, from the house, just light, or, and I don't know if you've hardly ever see, you know, a flickering fire, which would speak of a warm family. What do you see? Well, I see, you see television is what you see. And, you know, that's where we tend to spend our time. And that's what tends to get hold of our hearts and our minds. You see the glow of this 29-inch TV, you know, through the window as you drive down the street. And so keep the Lord central in your home. Don't take this matter, your children, lightly. Don't treat Egypt lightly. Don't leave your kids in Egypt, so to speak. And this was Pharaoh's suggestion. Yeah, the Lord will be with you if I ever let you and your little ones go. God holds us accountable for our children. And I say, don't wait until it's too late. You know, when they're young, teach them the ways of the Lord. Don't believe Satan's lies. Well, if you force them to go to church, they'll hate it. Or if you restrict them, don't believe that. Don't believe that at all. And as they get older, if I had to suggest anything, I'd say, boy, you teach them and instruct them and discipline them and, yes, control them early on. And as they get older, it becomes all the more paramount then that they see in you a single-hearted devotion to Christ. Because as they get older, they'll perceive and they'll understand what really makes you tick. And teach them by instruction early on and example. But teach them by instruction and example later on. If I had to pick of those two, I would say early on, heavy on the control and the instruction. As they grow older and mature, heavy on the example, obviously both all the way along, but kind of keep that in mind. And you know, he'll work, he's working today, and it's a dangerous world we live in. Don't take it casually. But let me encourage you that the Lord is greater than all the ploys of Satan. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And boy, if there's ever a time when we need to be dependent on the Lord and we need to be praying, you know, the 127th Psalm that I quote just about every Sunday, when we celebrate a birth, children are a gift from the Lord. And that psalm is a psalm that says, unless the Lord builds a house, we're laboring in vain. So we need to be on our knees in prayer for our kids today. If you're grateful for parents, many of you are grateful for parents who prayed for you. Well, that is more than ever necessary in the days we live in. It's not an easy day to see the gospel get passed on. And I would say, don't make the mistake that Moses was tempted to here of just saying, yeah, that'd be good. Now, that'd be good. It'd be good for us as men, and maybe even the women can come to get out and worship the Lord. We'll leave the kids behind. Now, don't think that you can leave your kids in Egypt and not suffer for it. So Moses is tempted with another compromise. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 12, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up on the land of Egypt and eat every plant of the land, even all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord directed an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts, and the locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled in all the territory of Egypt, for they were very numerous. There had never been so many locusts, nor would there be so many again. For they covered the surface of the whole land, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every plant of the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Thus nothing green was left on tree or plant of the field through all the land of Egypt. Wow. You talk about relentless judgment. And if the hail left anything, the locusts got it. Then Pharaoh hurriedly called for Moses and Aaron and said, I've sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now watch this again. Just about exactly, but in a little more detail now. I've sinned against the Lord and against you. Now, therefore, please forgive my sin only this once and make supplication to the, pray for me. I remember, you remember Peter said, you better pray to God, to that false Simon in Acts. He said, you pray to God and ask forgiveness. And that guy said, what? Well, you pray for me. Unbelief will often hope that maybe a holy man could make supplication for them rather than going straight to the Lord through the one and only mediator. Anyway, he says, you pray for me, forgive me just this once, and if he'd only remove this death from me. Oh, there it is again, the telltale sign of what's gone wrong, or what's basically not gone wrong, is wrong with unbelief, is wrong with Pharaoh's heart. He just wants really relief. If only he'd remove this death from me. That's unbelief. There's a certain kind of person who, if he could just get away from the consequences of his sin, that's really what he'd like. And under pressure, might even say some fairly good-sounding religious stuff. Well, he went out from Pharaoh and made supplication to the Lord. So the Lord shifted the wind to a very strong west wind, which took up the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not one locust was left in all the territory of Egypt. So God graciously removed the locusts. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, verse 20, and he did not let the sons of Israel go. Hardness. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. And by the way, some of these God gave warning, and some of them he just did it. He said, Moses, do it. And Moses did it. And there was this thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. This was a supernatural darkness, a thick darkness. Notice you could feel it. I think about what sin brings. And when our Savior, the sinless one, bore our sins in his body on the cross, the Bible tells me, Matthew 27, that at noon, at high noon, the sky went dark. And I believe it was obviously a supernatural darkness then, but I believe it was this kind of a darkness, a thick darkness that you could feel until 3 o'clock, the scripture says, 3 hours when Jesus was on the cross. And notice verse 23, they didn't see one another. The Bible, Jesus repeatedly warned about the coming outer darkness. People tell me, oh, well, if I'm there, there'll be a lot of my friends there, I'll tell you that. And when some prominent sinner dies, they talk about how he's probably, you know, buying a round of drinks in hell, you know, a great time, party time for him. That's what he wanted, you know. Now, there will be no companionship in this outer darkness that Jesus warned about. There'll be gnashing of teeth and an utter loneliness. They didn't see each other, it says here. But notice, all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. Well, I'll tell you, it's exciting to see how God makes a distinction between his own people and those he's bringing judgment on, and God is able to do that. Well, Pharaoh called to Moses, verse 24, and said, go, serve the Lord. Go ahead, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even your little ones may go with you. Third compromise scheme. Okay, go. Okay, go ahead, take your kids, even your little ones. Just leave your flocks. First, he tried to get him to just, okay, sacrifice to God in the land. Stay in Egypt. Then, okay, go ahead, but not your kids. Now, not your flocks, not your belongings, not your livelihood. And Satan will seek, if he can't keep you from following the Lord, if he can't keep you from training up your kids, well, he'll try to keep you compartmentalized in your life. And yeah, you can be a Christian on Sunday, but down at work, your livelihood, you got to be, it's just different out there, Scott. You don't understand it. It's a tough business I'm in. It's a different world, you know. And he'll try to keep us living one way with our livelihood, staying in Egypt, so to speak, with our livelihood, and not making a clean break. And you know, you really can't compartmentalize your life. I know you can try, and I know many try, but it doesn't work. It doesn't successfully work. And it's a weak and impotent Christianity that seeks to worship the Lord and yet leaves your livelihood out in a different realm, or leaves all your money and your possessions over in a different camp in your mind. Isn't really the Lord's. I mean, that's your other part of your life. No, he wants the whole thing. And Moses said, verse 25, you must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice them to the Lord our God. How are we going to go out there and sacrifice if we don't take the stuff to sacrifice with? Therefore, our livestock too will go with us. Not a hoof will be left behind. Boy, I like that. That's Moses' retort to this final compromise scheme. We're not leaving one hoof behind. For we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God, and until we arrive there, we ourselves do not know with what we shall serve the Lord. We're not leaving our stuff behind. We're not leaving our flocks behind. You know, back in Genesis 15, when God said, your descendants, Abraham, are going to go down to Egypt for 400 years, but when they come out, they're going to come out with many possessions. He'd predicted that a long time ago. And Moses stood his ground and said, not a hoof will be left behind. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. In fact, he lost his temper. Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Beware, do not see my face again, for in the day you see my face again, you shall die. Don't even try to come into my presence anymore and keep making these requests. And Moses said, you're right. I shall never see your face again. I'm through coming in here asking permission. From now on, the only asking that'll go on is Pharaoh asking them to leave. The only asking that'll go on will be the Israelites asking their neighbors, say, can I have that gold and silver and those clothes? And they'll give it to them. They're going to plunder Egypt as they go. It's going to be a complete victory for God and his people. He said, you're going to come out with many possessions. Look back at chapter 3. Just glance back at what was said. Verse 19. I know that the king of Egypt will not permit you to go except under compulsion. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it. And after that, he will let you go. And I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor and the woman who lives in her house articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and daughters. Thus you will plunder the Egyptians. Oh, God is God. He's almighty, and he demonstrates it in the book of Exodus. Now, let me encourage you tonight. I was encouraged greatly by the testimony. And let me encourage you, don't compromise. Come out clearly. Separate yourself for the Lord. Pray for your kids. Some of you are struggling. Keep praying. We have testimony after testimony of those who have wandered, but the Lord is faithful. You pray for those children of yours who have wandered. You seek to not be casual about it. It's very important. But pray for them and go to God and know that His desire, His purpose is that we be given over to Him. And if we give ourselves to Him, we can expect Him to be mighty on our behalf. Who has seen the mind of the arm of the Lord, you know? The 53rd of Isaiah says, the one who's believed the report. You take God at His word, you believe His word, and you can expect Him to be mighty on your behalf. And we know that one day soon, God is going to close history the same way He closed this little chapter of history, in complete victory through His Son, the Passover Lamb. Father, tonight we rejoice at Your faithfulness and at Your power and at Your revealed will that You want us given over to You, our homes, our livelihoods, our kids, everything. And I am so thankful that You worked a complete deliverance and that Satan was shown to be impotent. Oh, he could try to, with violence, oppose what You're doing. He could try to imitate. He could try to have Your people compromise, but there's no reason for any of that, Lord. And we praise You that You are greater, infinitely greater than the evil one. Remind us of that this week, Lord, that we would not compromise, that we would not in any way just kind of settle for second best. But no, Lord, I pray that we would be wholly given over to You. Our livelihoods, our possessions, our children, our homes, our worship would be complete. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled The Plagues of Egypt, a message from our series Through the Book of Exodus. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. This year, we're doing many things differently than before. Nearly all of us, it seems, have switched over to online resources, whether that be simply more time listening to the radio or worshiping online through live streams. We're thankful that you've chosen to listen to us on this station. And we invite you to downtownbible.org to download or listen to any past program or to subscribe to our daily podcast. We're excited here at Southwest Bible Church to be able to offer the community what we're calling SW Kids Spring Learning Groups. These learning groups are for children in grades 1st through 5th who are currently enrolled in an online or hybrid school program. Each day includes scheduled schoolwork time, a study from the Bible, breaks, recess, and a special activity once a week. Spring Learning Groups meet on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 8:30 a.m. to 2:45 p.m. For more information, go to our website, swkids@swbible.org, or give the church a call at 503-524-7000. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
God's desire is not partial salvation. It's not partial separation. He wants us completely devoted to Him. He wants our whole life, our kids, our livelihood, our cattle, our assets, everything. Romans 12 is a great description of that. After 11 chapters of describing what God has done for us, He calls on us to put ourselves at His disposal. He urges us to lay our bodies on the altar, so to speak. Everything about us is to be His. And the chapter closed, you remember, with Moses saying, yeah, I'm not going to be coming to see you anymore, Pharaoh. I'm not going to come into your court and ask you anything more. The only asking that will be happening from here on in will be the Egyptians asking the Israelites to leave.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings part 8 of a message titled, The Plagues of Egypt. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.